Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, as Israel on the cusp of all-out war with Hezbollah in Lebanon, Netanyahu accuses Biden of withholding armaments. The flow of U.S. arms to Israel is critical to ensure IDF victory over Hamas in Gaza and to prevent a third Lebanon war, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said on Friday. Netanyahu spoke after he published an English-language video in which he accused the Biden administration of withholding arms to Israel. The next day, he posted on X, formerly Twitter, that U.S. Ambassador to Israel, Jack Lew, had assured him the arms would be delivered. A looming war with Hezbollah and a war of words with the Biden administration puts Israel into a very tight spot. Jeremiah 22, verse 33 says, O inhabitant of Lebanon, that makest thy nest in the cedars, how gracious shall thou be when pangs come upon thee, the pain as of a woman in travail. In Israel today, a whole host of things is all happening at the same time, and it's mostly not good. The good news is that the IDF operation in Rafah has been making some excellent progress with the assassination of a top Hamas leader and destroying a rocket launching pad. But the not-so-good news is, while that's going on, Israel is on the verge of a full-blown war with Hezbollah in Lebanon, a war that many fear Israel is not prepared to fight. In addition to that, Armenia just recognized a state of Palestine, U.S. missiles not coming to Israel quickly sparking a war of words between Biden and Netanyahu, and Netanyahu has thousands of protesters out in front of his house every single night. Over in America, Communist China owns thousands of acres of U.S. farmland next to 19 military bases. It's almost enough to make you forget about the military pact just signed between Russia and North Korea. On this episode, we are truly a world at war and on the cusp of World War III. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your mercy and your goodness and your grace towards us. We thank you, God, for waking us up this morning and putting food on the table and clothes on the back and a roof over our head. We're glad, we're grateful to be saved and serving. We pray for lost souls today. We pray for Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs, Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark, and Jeanette's family, Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony, Dion, Matthew, Samuel, and two great-grandbabies. We pray for Trista, Tara, Ted, Shauna, and George, Trevor, Derek, Adam, Roland, Carrier, and their families, my three brothers, John, Jimmy, and David, daughter, Christy, and niece, Melissa, Jesse and his mom, Rachel's dad, Ralph, unsaved Catholic family members in the Bolton family, Jordan Shapiro, David Peck, in the Weir's Bickey family, daughters, Valerie and Marie, husband, Greg Sr., and son, Greg Jr., Jeffrey's children, Tyler, Tevin, daughter-in-law, Caitlin, and grandsons, Logan, Ronnie, and Russell. Jeanette and Bob have unsaved Catholic family members. Connie has three unsaved kids. Rita in Colorado praying for son Dan. Brandy, unsaved family members. Ron needs to get saved. Spray of Sunshine's kids, Daniel, Patrick, and Brian. Shannon praying for Lori W. and Brian M. And Jan Lacker praying for son David. People who need a healing today. We continue to pray for Lori Ann's mom, Joyce, that's my mother-in-law, battling cancer, chemo, and most recently a blood clot, but she's doing better. And she says thank you very much for her NTEB family praying for her. Gail, I have severe arthritis in my knees. It's very difficult to walk. Thank you for your prayers, and God bless you for all you do. Shay Caster in Montana, going through a very difficult time with family. Please keep our dear brother Shay in your prayers. Derek O'Reilly, please put my mother on the prayer list. She's going to a specialist on Tuesday to see if her blood clot is gone so we can take vacation together in September. So please keep Derek and his mother in Dublin in your prayers. Cher, I have a friend named Ron. He has a large lump in his lungs, and please pray for a good report from the biopsy. Also, granddaughter Cheyenne is still waiting for to see a neurologist, but has not had any more blackout episodes. Daniel R. for mental and emotional support. Sadie for wisdom and guidance. Heather, Lyme disease and rheumatoid arthritis. Jeff Ward and his wife Amanda, she's been going through cervical cancer. Please keep both of them, especially her, in your prayers. Amber, we are praying for her. She just passed 90 days of sobriety, but the devil is trying to take it from her. Please pray for protection around Amber and for a complete healing and peace. Asher, please pray for my mother, Juanita. Please pray for daughter Madison battling depression. Gail has an unspoken, the Lord knows the need. Stephanie, please pray for husband Andy, battle with alcohol, and for him to get saved. Krista battling breast cancer. Michelle Christian battling bone cancer. Rob Beatty battling stage 4 liver cancer. Amanda Emaw battling breast cancer. Annetta, we continue to pray for her to have a complete recovery after having a stroke. Marcia Swanson has myalgic encephalomyelitis, which is a neuroimmune disease that affects her health. George H. for health issues. Also, please pray for our daughter, Kelsey, and granddaughter, Mia. They were both diagnosed with COVID in the middle of the week, just 2 days ago, and we were all exposed. And so please pray that we won't come down with COVID, and please pray that Kelsey and Mia will recover quickly. Thank you. James Rivette, recovering from addiction and mental health issues, needs to find work. Robert Wiley, battling ALS disease. Jill Puckett, losing her vision. Paul Caulfield, type 1 sugar diabetes. Ron Alliston has cancer, and we continue to pray for him. I have a praise report update from Cindy Kettlecamp. Brooke is continuing to work towards an Iowa placement. Prayers for her continue growth and her patience in the process. She is very much anxious to move closer to family. She says, thank you all for your faithfulness to pray for Brooke. And we're very happy to do that. Melissa B's husband, Brian, has stage 3 kidney disease. Tracy, arthritis in her spine, diabetes type 2. Stacy, going through a divorce. Please pray that her and her husband get right with the Lord. Terry, I have had several strokes and now need a walker. Casey, my husband is unsaved and a severe alcoholic. Tom Rance continues to recover from a stroke and a brain bleed. Wayne needs prayer for cancer. Not sure if he's saved. Also, pray for a home health worker by the name of George. I spoke with him on the phone on Wednesday night, and he's not saved. He's a member of the LGBTQ community. And he has undiagnosed mental illness. We sent him a Bible. We sent him a copy of Transgender to Transformed, the Laura Perry story. We sent him a copy of John and Romans, scripture portion, and a gospel track. But please pray for George to get mentally healthy and most of all to get saved. Teresa G. has macular degeneration. Linda Benjamin needs prayer for health and memory problems. Berta and Mike Crabb, we continue to pray for their ongoing health issues. They pop into the chat room from time to time, and it's always a blessing to see them. Kathy Boehm, please pray for my fiancé named Matt. He is incarcerated and far from the Lord. Lorianne says, please pray for Aunt Dorothy. She has a brain tumor that is growing. Ladies who are expecting, Stephanie Juliana, giving birth any day now. And Stephanie, I know you listen to these broadcasts. Please reach out and let me know when your child is born. Sarah Ann Severson, we prayed for her for 9 full months. And Cindy gave me the praise report that Soren Robert Severson was born on May 22nd, weighing in at 8 pounds, 9 ounces, 20 and a half inches long, and born through an emergency C-section. And so we rejoice with the Kettle Camp and Severson family, and we welcome baby Soren into the world. Spray of Sunshine, please pray for son and girlfriend who are expecting twins. There is an update. April, the mother, was admitted to the hospital with COVID and blood clots and tachycardia. So far, the babies are doing okay. Please pray for April to get saved and for a complete healing. She says, thank you so much. I love you guys. Well, we love you all too. Jose and Anna De La Rosa expecting their third baby. Tanya, son Vincent, and fiance Sarah having twins. Marilyn Linnaw says, my granddaughter Tori expecting a baby boy in August. Abigail Wagner, home delivery sometime this month. CJ's daughter-in-law Emily expecting in December. Deborah Mack's good friend Gwen, 2 months pregnant. And Lauren is expecting a baby in December. Please pray for mom and baby. And we'll be very happy to do that. A lot of prayer requests in the chat room today. Brooke, update on Frank. He has had his hip surgery and it went well, but he lost blood and will have a rough recovery. Please pray for a smooth healing. Linda LaPiana, my sister Diane was bit on her hand by her dog. She wound up in the hospital for 4 days. Please pray. Absolutely. Jeanette, please pray that my caregiver shows up today. Kenny B, I heard from Tammy. She is sick with COVID. Please pray for speedy recovery and salvation. Happy to do. A lot of people with COVID right now, including our family. It's going around. Jeanette says, please keep George in prayer. That's the one that I mentioned earlier. And we're very happy to do that. Deborah Mack has a prayer request that the Lord would expose the millions of lives that have ended through in vitro fertilization. Chrissy, need prayer for several health issues like fibromyalgia, flare-up with fatigue, neck pain, feet painful, digestive problems. Thank you. Regina Danner, Linda is back in the hospital and needs prayer. Happy to pray for our sister Linda. Please pray for my unsaved family, says Nick T. Bill, I am praying that the Lord will lead me to the right job and praying for patience and good attitude. And he absolutely will lead you to the right job. If you're saved, you're his child, and you are his responsibility. Jeanette, difficult day for me and my family. My mom would have been 91 today. She has been in heaven for almost 9 months now. Happy birthday. I know she is celebrating in heaven with her family there. And in just a minute, we are going to wish Jeanette's mom a very happy birthday. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God. We praise you. All these prayer requests, we pray and people leave this world. We pray and people come into this world. And Lord, you are in charge of it all. We don't even begin to guess how the whole thing works, but we do know. We do know what your word says, and we know that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ, and that's our hope, our blessed hope. And we just commit all these prayers. Lulu's father has a heavenly birthday today as well. And Lord, for all of these prayers and the sicknesses and the COVID and the blood clots and the tachycardia and the broken bones and the operations and the kidneys and the livers, Catherine B. recovering from stents in her leg. Regina Danner says, praise report, God has blessed me with a power chair and a walker. Amen to that. And so, Father God, for all of these prayers and for the unspoken prayers of our hearts, we commit this to you, every bit of it, every word, and ask you to work and move as only you can. We commit this podcast to you. Give me the words to say. We pray that something will be said and done today to lead a lost soul to you, and something would be said and done today to lead a saved soul to get back on fire for you and to get back in the game. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. A very happy birthday to Jeanette's mom and Lulu's dad.
It's your birthday.
It's the day that you were born.
It's
the day your mama brought you home.
Amen. If you're just tuning in, you have reached the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast, and we have a lot of stuff that is happening today, a lot of stuff that is going on, and we're going to do our very, very best to break it down for you and to show you the nearness of the times that we live in. Let's start with this clip. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 says this. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, shall not come except two things happen. Except there come a falling away first, number one, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So, from time to time, we give you updates on the falling away, and it is bad. It is really, really, really bad. Take a listen to this call to worship from a Protestant church last Sunday.
Good evening. Hi. As you are able, do you care? Could you stand for us, please? Help us do this call to worship. In the image of God, you created everything and called it good.
In abundant diversity, your likeness is found in us.
We reject all messages that belittle or degrade any among us.
And so in faithfulness to God and one another, we proclaim.
Sacred are our bodies of every size and disability. Blessed are our sexualities, drawing us towards love of many kinds.
Love is every gender, revealing you in different ways.
To our skin, beautiful in every shade, we say hallelujah.
Praise God, our Creator, who blesses us with this world.
And blesses us with these bodies and our fellow creatures, all created good, very, very good.
Thank you.
Now, does that sound like a call to worship to you? From a Protestant church? You know what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. He's talking about church people. Lost people don't endure sound doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Talking about church people. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. If you attend a church where the pastor preaches on politics and or social justice. Now, I'm going to explain what I mean to you. I'm not talking about just the far left liberal churches like that clip that I just played for you. Obviously, that was a Protestant church, but it was an affirming Protestant church. We get that. But if you attend a church, even a Baptist church, where the pastor preaches social justice and the pastor preaches politics. I'm not talking about do they mention those things. You can mention those things. I use them from time to time as an anecdote, as an illustration, as a metaphor. From time to time in the pulpit, I'll reference some big headline that just happened, and then I'll give you Bible for it, okay? But all across America, what you have happening right now, you have a Christian nationalistic experience that is unfolding. And churches are starting to preach politics again. Baptist churches preaching on social justice. Take a listen to, well, not a listen, but let me just tell you about this. Breitbart News from yesterday. Conservative activist Scott Pressler told Breitbart News that if every Christian voted in the United States, we would never lose another presidential election. And he says, we are seeing big moves from the Muslims to the Republican Party because they don't like Joe Biden's anti-peace in the Middle East, and they don't like Democrats waging a war against children, and all those things that on and on down the line. But if you remember when Donald Trump ran for president the first time, you remember how many pastors from the pulpit were preaching what amounted to talking points from QAnon. If your church does that, if you're attending church and your pastor starts preaching on politics and social justice, get up and walk out. I didn't say quit the church. You can come back the next time. But if you have a pastor that is preaching social justice and politics as a sermon, then you need to stand up and walk away. That's what you need to do. Because the only thing that should be preached from the pulpit is the Bible. Now, you can preach anything that you want from the Bible. You go to any chapter, Old Testament, New Testament, any dispensation. There's no spot of the Bible that doesn't make for a good message. But if you stand up in that pulpit, you better be preaching the Bible. You better be preaching the gospel. Because that's exactly what Paul charged Timothy with. So, we can listen to clips like what I just played for you. And we can smile and laugh at that and say, that's crazy. But at the same time, we have to remember to apply the same standard to the churches that we go to. Do not sit there with no reaction if they start preaching a social gospel or a political gospel in your church this Sunday. Stand up and walk out. That's what I would do. All right, so that's the falling away. Now, that's kind of a nice segue into this. There is a man by the name of Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. And we've written about him over the years, maybe once or twice. And Carlo Maria Vigano is an archbishop, and he's a Roman Catholic archbishop, and he quite frequently gets himself into trouble because he will speak the truth about the Roman Catholic Church, and they don't like that. So recently, Archbishop Vigano, he spoke out against Hillary Clinton and John Podesta. He spoke out against child trafficking and child pornography. He went on to talk about how Jeffrey Epstein ran a blackmail operation on his island, collecting evidence of well-known people committing heinous crimes against children, and on and on and on. So how did Pope Francis respond to what Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano had to say? He didn't like it. He didn't like it. And he excommunicated him for speaking the truth. Let's listen to Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano.
A few weeks ago, an important collaborator of Hillary Clinton and John Podesta was arrested for pedophilia and child pornography. I'm referring to Slade Sommer, a man with ties to the world of Broadway and cinema, who played a role in the effort to debunk the infamous Pizzagate affair. That is, the network, filthy complicity and horrendous crimes against minors that revolves around the international deep state. We have learned that certainly Jeffrey Epstein and most likely Ghislaine Maxwell were members of the Israeli Mossad. This makes us understand that the famous trips of many well-known people to Epstein Island were used to blackmail them by collecting evidence of their guilt in participating in heinous ritual crimes against minors. And if the heads of state and governance officials of the Western world do not dare to breathe out a word of protest against the massacres of civilians in Gaza Strip, it is legitimate to assume that this attitude is due to the intensive dossier with videos inculpating them that are in possession of the Israeli intelligence services. The same thing must be happening with the preparation of the fake pandemic emergency, which was lavishly replicated in all the member states of the World Economic Forum and the United Nations, and also with the farce of the Ukrainian crisis. But this blackmail of the powerful of the world constituted the unifying
All right, so that was Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano talking about pedophilia and child trafficking, and Pope Francis did not like him speaking out about that, and he has censored him. He has um, uh, he has excommunicated him. And this is what happens in the Catholic Church if you try and speak out. You are not allowed to do it. Pope Francis does not want to solve the problem of child trafficking, and he does not want to stop priests from molesting children, and he does everything that he can do to protect and cover up the things that take place within the Roman Catholic Church. And if you're going to be somebody like Vigano, and you're going to dare to open your mouth about what you know to be true, about what you know to be true, there is an astonishingly high number of Roman Catholic priests who are homosexual, who abused children. Even in the town where I grew up, the church that I attended, last time I checked, one of the priests that was there when I was there, he's in jail for molesting children. So Pope Francis gives you lip service about how he wants to solve the problem, but he absolutely has no interest and no intention of stopping the abuse of children by Roman Catholic priests and bishops. All right, let's get to our next item today. Depending on where you live in the United States, you might have noticed that it's been a little warm out lately. And it has been warm out lately. There's no question about it. I can remember very hot summers growing up at the Jersey Shore. I can remember looking at the outside thermometer at the local drugstore in Lavalette. There's a drugstore that was catty corner from this great little luncheonette that we used to go to called the Cozy Nook. And there, I forget the name of the drugstore, but it was about a block or two away from this great little coffee shop. And I can clearly remember as a young man in my 20s, they had this big thermometer outside of the pharmacy. And it would show 96, 97, 98, 100 degrees. And that's back in the 1980s. So it's pretty much an accepted rule of thumb that in the summertime, June, July, and August, especially on the East or West Coast or the South, you're going to have some very hot temperatures. That has not changed in the 63 years that I've been alive. I cannot say that it is hotter now than it was when I was a kid. I can remember some unbelievably hot and sweltering days in the 70s, in the 80s, in the 90s, in the 2000s. That is what you should expect in the summertime on the East Coast. Well, New York State Governor Kathy Hochul, she got in front of the camera the other day, and this is what she had to say about a 90-degree heat wave.
This is not a natural hot weather stretch for us here in the state of New York, especially upstate. But we are going to be seeing temperatures at levels we have not seen in our lifetimes. And I want to update New Yorkers on what we're doing about this significant public health event. Right now, everywhere north of New York City is under a heat advisory, and it's only going to get worse. Starting today in the Genesee Valley and the Finger Lakes, and starting tomorrow, extreme heat will hit everywhere in the great state of New York. Now, what does this mean? It's a dangerous mix of high temperatures and extreme humidity, causing feels-like temperature of over 100 degrees. Now, that's hot.
So she was just referencing, and I went to weather.com to look it up. And I was expecting weather.com to show me a five-day forecast of 101, 105, 108. And if I would have seen that, that would have maybe justified her very bold announcement that we are in the midst of an unprecedented heat wave. But you know what weather.com said? Monday, 90. Tuesday, 92. Wednesday, 93. Thursday, 91. Does anybody in their right mind think for even a moment that you're at the end of June, almost the beginning of July? Isn't that the time period that they used to call the dog days of summer because it was so hot that you never really wanted to do anything? And so here you have Kathy Hochul. Do you remember 2 years ago we did an article where Kathy Hochul was calling people to become her apostles by taking the COVID vaccine? Let me see if I can find that article for you. Kathy Hochul called people to become her apostles. And who says the left doesn't like religion? They absolutely do. She called people to become her apostles by taking the COVID vaccine. And I don't know if I still have that clip. But I do. Yeah, I do. All right. Take a listen to this. This is from 2022. It might have been 21, but I think it was from 2022. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says, God wants you to get vaccinated, and she wants you to become her apostles.
He may then come up with a vaccine. That is from God to us. And we must say, thank you, God. Thank you. And I wear my vaccinated necklace all the time to say, I'm vaccinated. All of you. Yes, I know you're vaccinated. You're the smart ones. But you know there's people out there who aren't listening to God and what God wants. I need you to be my apostles. I need you to go out and talk about it and say...
That's how lost people use religion. She's trying to push your buttons.
We owe this to each other. We love each other. Jesus taught us to love one another. And how do you show that love but to care about each other enough to say, please get vaccinated because I love you. I want you to live. I want our kids to be safe when they're in schools. I want you to be safe when you go to a doctor's office or to a hospital and are treated by somebody. You don't want to get the virus from them. I need every one of you. I need you to let them know that this is how we can fight this pandemic, come back to normal, and then start talking about the real issues that we have to. Fighting systemic racial injustice, which exists today, and if there's a denier, I will take you on any day because I've seen it. I know it exists.
This is what Kathy Hochul said, and let me just look up what year that was. She said that in, I was right, 2021. And you just heard her say that I'll take on any COVID denier. I'll take on any vaccine denier. Well, do you remember the article that we did just 11 days ago? Moderna messenger RNA combo shot puts COVID and flu vaccines together in terrifying new injection that no human being should ever consider taking. And in that article, I said this: I am 63 years old and to date have never taken a COVID shot and have never taken a flu shot either, and I never will. Over the years, we've done many stories on the dangers of the flu shot, but the number of victims for that pales in comparison with the number of victims that the COVID shots have claimed. Messenger RNA technology is not safe, and there is no incentive on this earth that could compel or entice me to try it. And then I gave you a link from this article on Anthony Fauci that scientists recently discovered that in the period of time from 22 through 23, 3 million excess deaths were connected to the COVID vaccine jab. 3 million people outside of the statistical average of the last 20 years. All of a sudden, the average goes crazy, and you have 3 million people who died in the immediate aftermath of the vaccine that they cannot tell you how they died.
And we are not going to have a blind eye to this ever again, any longer under my watch. And that is my commitment to you.
And we'll be nation leading with our mandate, which strikes at midnight tonight, when everyone is expected in a hospital in the state of New York or a health care facility to have been vaccinated. I will be signing an executive order to give me the emergency powers necessary to address the shortages where they occur. That's going to allow me to deploy the National Guard, who are medically trained, deploy people who've been retired, who may have had a license lapse, bring in people from elsewhere. That is not my first position, though, my friends. My desire is to have the people.
All right, so that is the very same Kathy Hochul who said what I just played for you, and I'll play it one more time.
This is not a natural hot weather stretch for us here in the state of New York, especially upstate. But we are going to be seeing temperatures at levels we have not seen in our lifetimes. And I want to update New Yorkers on what we're doing about this significant public health event. Right now, everywhere north of New York City is under a heat advisory, and it's only going to get worse. Starting today in the Genesee Valley and the Finger Lakes, and starting tomorrow, extreme heat will hit everywhere in the great state of New York. Now, what does this mean? It's a dangerous mix of high temperatures and extreme humidity, causing feels-like temperature of over 100 degrees. Now that's hot.
So you will notice that she said it causes feels-like temperature of 100-plus degrees. It is not a temperature of 100-plus degrees. Today in New York City, right now, it is 93 degrees. Tomorrow, it's going to be 96. Monday, it's going to be 88. Tuesday, it's going to be 87. You know what Kathy Hochul is? She's a big, fat liar who is trying to gaslight you on climate change. And she is a big fat liar who is trying to gaslight you on COVID vaccines. Don't believe a word she says about anything. She is a psychopathic, pathological liar. And that's all I have to say about that. How about this? All right. As long as we're talking about psychopaths, take a listen to this guy.
The atmosphere now is caused by the electricity grid, which is about 25% or so.
Exactly.
So 24%, it comes from agriculture and forestry. Why is that causing such a big increase in carbon?
Cows and other grass-eating species have a digestion system that emits methane. And methane is a very powerful greenhouse gas. And so cows alone account for about 6% of global emissions. And so we need to change
cows alone. How are we going to do that?
Well, actually, of all the categories, the one that has gone better than I would have expected 5 years ago is this work to make what's called artificial meat. And so you have people like Impossible or Beyond Meat, both of which I invested in.
You eat it as well? And you like it?
Absolutely.
You do.
You can go to Burger King and buy the Impossible Burger.
All right. Is it healthier for you or just healthier for the atmosphere?
It's slightly healthier for you in terms of less cholesterol. It's, of course, dramatic reduction in methane emissions. You know, animal cruelty, manure management, and the pressure that meat consumption puts on land use. You know, the main reason why we need to increase the agricultural output over the rest of this century is not the population increase. It's that as countries get richer, they eat more meat, and meat is a very inefficient way of creating calories.
And that's another person who is a pathological, psychopathic liar. And, you know, God was the one that created the cow. God was the one that created the grass. And you know what happens when cows eat grass? They become part of a chain reaction that winds up putting more CO2 into the air so that the plants grow bigger, healthier, and stronger. And the plants and the trees in turn produce a little gas known as oxygen. You know what happens when you reduce the CO2? You reduce the oxygen level of the planet. Now, the CO2 that comes out of a cow is not the same CO2 that comes out of the exhaust pipe of your car. Why are they bringing cows into the equation? Because people like to eat cows. Because steak and beef is one of the... Beef and chicken, that's the main thing that people eat in America and in Europe and across most of the world. Beef, chicken, and fish. So they want to control the food supply. They want to stop you from eating beef. Did you hear Bill Gates say, I think everybody, if you care about the planet, you should eat fake meat, because he has invested in fake meat companies. And so they make up these ridiculous stories about cows causing climate change. A number of years ago, we did an article called Fake Scientist Says We Must Eat Fake Meat. But it's all about taking away the meat from you. So they have to make the cow a bad thing. Cows are a good thing. Eating beef is a good thing. And anything that the New World Order wants to take away from you is 9 out of 10 times it is a good thing that you should fight to hold on to. And there's no question about that. All right. One more interesting nugget here before we get to our top story. Is it a concern? Secretary of State Kirby was asked about Chinese investors buying land around military installations. So Kirby, who is part of the Biden administration, 1 year ago, this clip that I'm going to play for you is a clip from 1 year ago, and he was asked, should Americans be concerned that Communist China has purchased 234,000 acres of farmland that just happen to be around 19 U.S. military installations? If you were Kirby, what would you say? Well, this is what he said.
I wanted to ask you, Chinese investors were the most active buyers of U.S. real estate last year among foreigners, often paying cash for farms, homes above market rates, in many cases pushing American buyers out of the markets. At the same time, housing is having a crisis. There is an increasing number of homelessness in the United States. Black ownership of homes is below what it was in the 1970s. I'm wondering, given the fact that known adversary, in the case China, foreign buyers are buying up U.S. real estate, in some case farms around military installations, is this on the administration's radar? And what is being done, perhaps, to study this or to protect Americans from making sure that homes remain affordable and so on?
I think the question of home ownership is a little bit out of my swim lane, but
particularly when it comes to around military installations.
What I will tell you is that the president has been nothing but clear about our concerns about Chinese unfair trade practices and economic practices.
I
understand that, ma'am. But
and buying up land around military installations.
Yeah, I'm probably not the right person to ask about home ownership here in the United States.
This isn't about home ownership. This is about buying up land around military installations. Is that a concern to this administration?
Go ahead, April.
I sent this to your office last week. They've had a week to look at this, including the RBR.
So John Kirby has been serving in the White House, the Biden White House, as National Security Communications Advisor for the last 2 years. And when he was asked last year, should Americans be concerned, he really wasn't all that concerned at all. And what do we find this year? We find that those 234,000 acres of communist Chinese-owned farmland in America just happened to be next to Fort Lewis in Washington, the Dungway Proving Ground, the Hill Air Force Base in Utah, Fort Irwin, Camp Pendleton in California, the Yuma Proving Ground in Arizona, the Oahu, Hawaii military bases, Camp Bullis in Texas, and Fort Cavazos, also in Texas, Whitman AFB and Fort Leonard Wood, the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, the Grand Forks Air Force Base in North Dakota, the Maine Army National Guard in Maine, the Patrick Space Force Base, and the MacDill Air Force Base in Florida, Fort Moore in Georgia, and the Naval Station in Norfolk, Virginia, and Fort Liberty in North Carolina. Now, do you think that Communist China would ever allow any other country, but let's just say America, do you think Communist China would allow America to buy hundreds of thousands of acres of Chinese farmland that just happened to wrap around dozens of Chinese military installations? Do you think that Communist China would allow that to take place? The answer is a resounding absolute no. That would never happen in 1,000 years. So, why is that happening in America? Is it intentional? Is it part of the plan to take this country down? Well, if you've been listening to this program for any length of time, we are coming up on our fourth year anniversary of the Prophecy News podcast, started during the pandemic. And if you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you know that America is being taken down from the inside. Lulu just said absolutely. And it is 100% intentional. That's what Jeanette just said. It is 100% deliberate. And we are watching these things take place. All right, we got to get to our top story tonight about Israel and Hezbollah. But before we do, I want you to listen to this clip from former inmate Roy Bell. We just sent the prison where he was incarcerated, the High Desert State Prison in Nevada. We just sent them 100 Ruckman Reference Bibles for their Bible study program. Has 100 people, 100 inmates. They got saved, and they are committed to a weekly course of Bible study. We just sent them 100 Ruckman Reference Bibles and 250 King James Bibles. Take a listen to Roy Bell talking about the importance of Bibles behind bars.
And so Dane's coming down, he points him over there, and after all those years, after all of that, Resurrection Sunday morning, I got to kneel down at an old-fashioned altar and lead my friend to the Lord tearfully, with tears running down his face. Oh, and he got it. Now everybody that even looks at him now go, bro, you look different. You got it. Your whole face is different. And then we went and saw Chap. We went and saw Chaplain Julio. And Chap says, Dane, I heard something happen. And Dane said, yep. He said, what happened? He said, I stepped to the Lord. He said, Chap, my dad died. I got mad. I got mad at God. I got full of hate and everything. He said, Chap, I want you to know Sunday morning, I got a new dad. And that's why we don't quit. And that's why when people say, well, do you see any results? And listen, jail ministry, drug addiction ministry, homeless ministry. Look, if you're in it because you want to see results, you're in the wrong business. But listen, when that one comes back, makes it all worth it. And that was the blessing that I had on Resurrection Sunday morning. I got to see him get saved. And 10 years in that chapel, I've lost count of how many men I got saved. We had a big baptismal pool. I lost count of how many men I got to baptize all those years in there. And that's because of this book. This book, look, I know it's because of the Lord. I know it's because of the blood. I know it's because of His Spirit. But we don't know anything about that without this book. This is the book right here. You get a man whose whole life has just been destroyed. He's lost everything. You throw him in a little box with nothing but four walls. Please, dear God, give him a Bible. Amen. You come, brother.
Brother Roy Bell, you just heard him say, you take a man whose whole life has just been destroyed, he's lost everything, you throw him into a little box. Please, dear God, get that man a Bible. If you're in the chat room, I just posted three pictures that Brother Roy sent to me yesterday. And he is pictured with men who have been recently released from the High Desert State Prison. And they are joining his church and they are getting on fire for God. We've been sending Bibles to the High Desert State Prison for the last 2 years. These men are the people who receive the Bibles that we send. Look them in the eye. And because you hear me talking about these people all the time. Well, here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people. A very small number of people who have received the Bibles that we have sent over the years. I got an email from Chaplain Todd at the Sebastian County Jail. This is what Chaplain Todd said to me today. Since you have started donating Bibles to our detention center, we have seen over 250 inmates trust Christ as Savior. 250. Every Bible requested by an inmate gives us an opportunity to share the gospel. Many of the inmates who need Bibles are already saved, and it is a great help and comfort to them to read the Word of God while they are incarcerated, with the hopes of getting their lives back on track and into the will of God. After salvation, many of the inmates continue in Bible studies that we provide. The Bibles you send allows them to do Bible study and to look up Bible references and really immerse themselves in the Word of God. For many inmates, our detention center is a brief stop before they are sent to prison. But Chaplain Todd says, but thank God, they are going to prison with a new hope in Christ and a Bible to bring with them. Thank you for your generous donation of Bibles that you have sent. Only eternity will truly tell the amazing impact your donations have made for the kingdom of Christ. And he closes by saying, God bless. Now, also this week, I was contacted by Chaplain Gonzalez from the Orange County Jail, and Chaplain Zachary from the Fulton County Jail. They need Bibles as well. We have sent out over 1,000 Bibles this week. We're hoping to send out 1,000 more next week. If you'd like to help us to do that, if you think helping these men and women is what Jesus would want us to do, to give these people who have no hope, hope in Jesus Christ and put a Bible in their hand, we invite you to go to BiblesBehindBars.com, click on the donate link. I don't ever want to have to be in a position where I have to say, no, we can't afford to do that right now. All this month, and it's looking like next month, we are getting a very high level of requests for Bibles. Thousands and thousands of Bibles need to go out. We need your help to do it. Please pray for this outreach. And if God has prospered you, please go to BiblesBehindBars.com and click on the donate link and help us to send these Bibles out to the jails and the prisons and the detention centers who need them so very badly. Thank you, as always. All right, let's get to our top story today. Benjamin Netanyahu stirred up a hornet's nest when he said this on X 2 days ago.
When Secretary Blinken was recently here in Israel, we had a candid conversation. I said I deeply appreciated the support the U.S. has given Israel from the beginning of the war. But I also said something else. I said it's inconceivable that in the past few months, the administration has been withholding weapons and ammunition to Israel. Israel, America's closest ally, fighting for its life, fighting against Iran and our other common enemies. Secretary Blinken assured me that the administration is working day and night to remove these bottlenecks. I certainly hope that's the case. It should be the case. During World War II, Churchill told the United States, give us the tools, we'll do the job. And I say, give us the tools and we'll finish the job a lot faster.
So Benjamin Netanyahu published, it was just a little 49-second video that he put on his X channel. But man, oh man, the U.S. is not happy about that. This is what they had to say in response.
And new this morning, Armenia just became the latest country to announce its recognition of the state of Palestine. Israel responded with a summons for Armenia's ambassador to Israel. Meanwhile, the White House says State Department and Pentagon, and the Pentagon rather, are all pushing back on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's claim that the U.S. is withholding weapons. Earlier this week, Netanyahu claimed in a video post that Secretary of State Antony Blinken said that the U.S. was working to remove bottlenecks, but that are delaying weapon shipments to Israel. Comments what the White House National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby called perplexing.
Those comments were deeply disappointing and certainly vexing to us, given the amount of support that we have and will continue to provide Prime Minister Netanyahu.
So this public dispute comes as the war rages on. Israel's army says two army reservists were killed in a Hamas mortar attack in central Gaza yesterday. And the Pentagon confirms that humanitarian aid has begun re-entering Gaza via the U.S.-built pier that was successfully reattached on Wednesday. Our Chris Livesay is following the latest from Tel Aviv.
Good morning, Anne-Marie. Well, there is growing doubt over Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's goal to eliminate Hamas in Gaza. According to a U.S. official, quote, the Israelis haven't come close to achieving their objective of destroying Hamas. Hundreds of Hamas fighters, miles of unexplored tunnels, and the Hamas leader in Gaza himself, Yahya Sinwar, remain. Since they have no day-after plan, the current strategy is, quote, a recipe for continuous war. Now, even Netanyahu's own military appears to be contradicting him. The IDF spokesman said this week, whoever thinks we can eliminate Hamas is wrong, adding that it's simply throwing sand in the eyes of the public. If we don't bring something else to Gaza, we will get Hamas. Netanyahu's war cabinet, a coalition of rivals meant to sow unity, recently fell apart over this very question. The White House has repeatedly clashed with Israel over its lack of a clear day-after plan, and this week Netanyahu brought even more tensions out in the open, publishing a video wherein he says it's inconceivable that in the past few months the U.S. has been withholding weapons, broadcasting to the world and Israel's enemies that it lacks firepower, just as clashes intensify in Israel's other war at the border with Lebanon with Hezbollah. National Security Advisor John Kirby called Netanyahu's complaint as much vexing and disappointing as it was incorrect, adding that the idea that the U.S. had stopped helping Israel with its self-defense needs is, quote, just not accurate. Anne Marie?
All right, Chris, thank you.
So that's what the same John Kirby, who last year said he didn't seem to be concerned about communist China purchasing farmland around 19 different U.S. military installations, he wasn't concerned about that, but he's concerned about this. That shows you where the priorities are of the Biden administration. That shows you exactly where they are. In the chat room, Courtney Ann says, please pray for me. I was fired yesterday and I need a job. I don't know what to do. Sorry if there's no time to add this. Thank you. We're very happy to pray for you, Courtney Ann. Heavenly Father, we lift up our sister Courtney and we ask you to help her, Lord. She knows you. She's saved. And she lost her job. And Father God, you're the one that puts the food on the table. You're the one that puts the roof over the head. And we commit Courtney Ann to you. Help her to find the job that she needs. And Lord, we just lift her up as a church family. And we ask you to take care of her as your word says that you'll do. And we ask these things, God, for Courtney Ann. In Jesus' name, amen. Always time for a prayer request. We love prayer and praise and Bible preaching and the gospel of the kingdom of God. And always time for a prayer request. All right. So Israel in a tough spot right now. The Knesset just approved war plans against Hezbollah. Do you remember back after October 7th last year, Netanyahu evacuated all the people that lived on the northern border of Israel because it was too close to Hezbollah? And most of those people have not since gone back. It's been like 255 days or whatever the number is, but they still haven't been able to go back. And now Israel... And this is what we're hearing from all accounts. I see this on the Jerusalem Post. I see it on Times of Israel. In every major Jewish publication, they are all saying that war is about to break out between Israel and Hezbollah, while at the same time they continue to fight Hamas.
Welcome back and live now from Fox. I'm Austin Westfall. I do want to get the latest on the Israel-Hamas war, and for that we bring in Benjamin Rad. He's a lecturer of global studies at UCLA. As always, Ben, we appreciate you coming on. This is a video from the Israeli Air Force yesterday showing them attacking a building in Lebanon where they say a number of Hezbollah terrorists were detected. The IDF's Northern Command has approved operational plans for a war against the Hezbollah terrorist group in southern Lebanon, the army announced on Tuesday. Israel says it can no longer tolerate Hezbollah's presence along its border following months of explosive back and forth between the two. Israel says should a diplomatic solution not be reached, it will turn to military action in order to push Hezbollah northward. So, Ben, no one has a crystal ball, but is it as simple as just pushing them further north? Hezbollah is going to put up a fight, and they're stronger than Hamas, correct?
Absolutely, and it's unfortunately not so simple as you indicated. So a couple days ago, a high-ranking official in the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps in Iran gave a press conference. And in that press conference, he basically stated that what Hezbollah is doing is achieving Iran's goal of projecting and expanding its power beyond its borders through its attacks and skirmishes with Israel. In other words, it is a projection of force by the Islamic Republic. So as much as Hezbollah might purport to act autonomously with its own agency in terms of what it's doing on the border, it is acting at the behest of the Islamic Republic and its officials there. And it is in their best interest to keep the pressure on Israel, to drag it into a broader confrontation, and in the process, bring the U.S. into it as well. All of which would please not just Iran, but also Russia and other purported enemies in the region.
Yeah, so I read that a U.S. envoy was actually being sent to Lebanon to aid peace talks. His name is Amos Hashtin. Who does he speak with on a trip like this? Is he talking to the Lebanese government and or their military? If so, what role does the Lebanese government have in this conflict?
So he'd be speaking to high-ranking cabinet officials, national security officials, the prime minister, basically those who would be willing to meet with him. And the purpose of the discussion really would be to stabilize the situation on the southern border for Lebanon, to make it clear to them, and they know this, that it does not benefit the country to get into another war with Israel, given that it was not that long ago that they were engaged in one and they suffered badly, as did all parties involved. And what complicates matters is Lebanon has a sort of multi-party system based on different religious sects and factions. And it's a very delicate balance maintaining the domestic peace. They did have a brutal civil conflict in the 70s.
All right. They're talking about important things, but it's a little on the boring side. So let me just get you up to speed. Ynet News says Israel moving resources from Gaza to prepare for war in the north. American officials are quoted as saying Israeli aerial defenses may not withstand Hezbollah's precision weapon attacks and are concerned that Israel set on a military solution to return residents and security to the border region. Now, one thing you have to understand about Hezbollah. Hezbollah has been building their missiles for many, many years, and they are highly funded through the nation of Iran. And they have over 150,000 missiles that they can shoot. And about 1,000 of those 150,000 are what they call precision-guided missiles. And they have a lot of firepower. And they can fire it endlessly. They can just push buttons. And America thinks that it is possible that the Iron Dome system could be overwhelmed if Hezbollah launches a major assault of rockets and missiles on Israel. Do you remember a couple of months ago, everybody stood and patiently watched as Iran released all those drones and they wanted to attack Israel as a payback for taking down that fake embassy in Damascus? I forget when I wrote about that, 2 or 3 months ago, maybe 4 months ago. And the whole world watched as Iran sent hundreds of drones. And the drones that they sent were not like cutting edge technology. They were kind of getting rid of their older drones, and they weren't really aggressively attacking Israel. They were really just showing that, you know, you did this, we'll do that. But did you see that Israel had to work pretty hard to stop the influx of drones from Iran? Not only that, in addition to Iron Dome defending Israel, the nation of Jordan and the United States from the Red Sea they also took down many of those drones as well. Israel was not able to stop them all by themselves. So the fear is that if Hezbollah decides to launch 20 or 30,000 of the really heavy rockets and missiles that they have, Iron Dome works really good with a limited amount of incoming. Iron Dome does not work all that well when you have hundreds of missiles coming in at the same time. And there is a fear that Israel will not be able to defend themselves. Now, it's almost unimaginable thinking that perhaps Israel might not be able to defeat Hezbollah. And we know that God is on the side of the Jewish people. Israel is his holy land. The Jews are his chosen people. We get all that. But it's also true that Israel and the Jewish people are about to go into the time of Jacob's trouble. That is also a fact. Jan Lacker is asking, could we see Damascus being nuked in this? Absolutely. And of course, she is referencing the Bible verse that says this, that Damascus will become a ruinous heap. Isaiah 17, verse 1, the burden of Damascus, behold, Damascus is taken away from being a city, and it shall be a ruinous heap. And that is very possible. That certainly could happen. But the context of Isaiah 17:1 is the time of Jacob's trouble. But could it happen in the closing moments of the church age? It certainly could. It certainly could. So it's a very real concern that Israel, if Hezbollah decided to really, really attack very hard, it is possible that that Iron Dome could be overwhelmed. That's why it says in Psalm 122, verses 6 and 7, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity within thy palaces. Pray for Israel, pray for the Jewish people, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's what the Bible tells us to do. We understand there will be no peace until the King of Peace comes back at the second advent. But that does not negate our praying for them here and now. So pray for the Jews and pray for Israel and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. All right, one more action item before we come to the end of today's program. Victor David Hansen. The United States is crumbling before our very eyes. Take a listen to what Victor David Hansen has to say about what 4 years of the Biden administration has done to America.
Somebody tells me today the inflation rate is 1% or what it really is, 3.5%. I don't care. All I care about is I go to the store and I want to buy a can of dog food. And before Biden took office, it was 79 cents, and now it's $2.30. Or before Biden took office, I saw a piece of plywood, and it was, you know, $12. And then it went up to $90. And now I'm supposed to be happy that it's $35. Your mortgage rates are 3 times higher. Your car insurance is double. They're canceling your house insurance. And things are great because the inflation rate is only 3.5. It doesn't work, because it affects people on gas and food. I talked to a guy yesterday. That's all he talked about. Buying a house, can't afford it. Interest rates are high. gasoline. He has, his truck has 85,000 miles. Victor, have you seen the price of new truck? Yes, I have. Do you know the price of used trucks is even high? They've gone up 25%. I got a letter in February. It said, sorry, Mr. Hansen, on April 1st, your insurance is canceled. So I called my agent. I said, no problem. There's 20 or 30. No, there's not, Victor. Have you been keeping track? There is no people who want to insure in the foothills. Newsom won't fight fires, apparently. They don't do it in California. And I asked another insurance, not this person, but another person. He says, California has one of the highest false claims. Whatever the reason is, it's happening everywhere. And so there's no insurance. There's company. And this, it's a state socialist program that is way overextended. If there was a big fire, I'd never collect. I think what's happening also, it's not just the inflation, but it's the slow reaction to the destruction of social life in America. And by that, I mean, if you've been watching Bed Bath & Bed or whatever it is went broke, if you saw that dollar outlet went broke, Walmart, Target are reporting smaller profits. They all say the same thing. There's been an epidemic of shoplifting and theft, especially at places like Home Depot and Lowe's. And there has been an epidemic in California for a long time of hit and run. At one point, LA County had almost half of all accidents were hit and run. And I think what I'm trying to get at is when you're letting all these people back on the street, and there are thousands of them, and they're shoplifting and stealing, and they are committing fraud, where they hit people and they don't, the insurance companies are left with the bill. And they've decided, especially in states like California.
And I'll just pause Victor David Hansen there just for a moment. On our Monday podcast, we're going to bring you an astounding, stunning revelation about insurance companies. And I'm not talking about the price. I'm talking about what's going to be insured and what's not going to be insured. And on the Monday podcast, this will blow your mind what is happening with insurance companies across America. And when you see what it's connected to, it's going to freak you out just a little bit. That's going to be Monday's podcast. But all the stories that we've done over the last couple of years about the unbelievably high levels of looting that are taking place in San Francisco and Philadelphia and New York City, and in Portland and Seattle, all these Democrat-run cities. There is a reason why they allow the looting. There is a reason why the police aren't stepping in, why their hands are tied by the local mayors. And there is a reason why they are allowing shoplifters to take things with no punishment. They're arrested and then they're immediately released. There's a reason for that. And on our Monday podcast, we are going to talk about that. We've come to the end of our time for today, but please keep the entire NTEB bookstore team in your prayers. Lori and me and Kelsey and Gail and Haley and Liam. Please keep the entire NTEB bookstore team in your prayers. In 1 week from today, we are going to have our soft opening. And the grand opening is not going to be until September. But we are going to open the doors to the public in Palatka 1 week from today. And I just put some pictures into the chat room. You can see that this is going to be a very unique ministry bookstore. And we are praying that God will use us in a very, very powerful way with the community as a witness to lost people, as a haven for saved people. So please pray that with everything that we have to do in this last week, that God would give us the strength and the provision and the protection and everything that we need to finish this job. We're so close. We're so close. And pray for the soft opening June 28th, 1 week from today. Thank you very, very much. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for today. Please remember our Bibles Behind Bars program. Chaplain Todd says 250 people at his jail have gotten saved since we started sending Bibles. 250. I don't know about you, but that's what I'd call a little bit of fruit. And each and every one of you that pray for the Bible program, that donate to the Bible program, that tell people about the Bible program, you and I are going to share that fruit at the judgment seat of Christ. And that's why we work. And that's why we do what we do. We're trying to reach as many lost people as possible, trying to send out as many Bibles as possible. We're just trying to get something done for the Lord in these last days. Thank you for being a part of the NTEB global family of Bible believers across America and around the world. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for another NTEB Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great weekend, everybody.
So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone.
So send I you to leave your life's ambition, to die to dear desire, self will resign, to labor long and love where men revile you.
So send I you
to lose your life in mine.
So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend though it be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary as the Father has said.